Cool. If you've got your Bibles, why don't you just turn to John chapter 2, verse 12. And we're just going to read a passage of scripture there that no doubt you will be familiar with. Actually, we'll pick it up in verse 13. It's probably got a heading above it, which says something like, Jesus clears the temple courts. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went to Jerusalem. And in the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned the tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market." Interesting. Just wanting to hold and pick up on that thought that he especially went after those who were selling the doves. "Stop turning my father's house into a market," his disciples remembered, "that it is written, 'Zeal for your house will consume me.'" The Jews then responded to him, "What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Jesus answered them, "I will destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days." It's a great passage of scripture. It's one that we love to pull out and go see. Even Jesus got angry. He got frustrated. He got annoyed. But there was a righteous indignation there upon him on that particular day. I remember as a young believer reading that and thinking, we shouldn't be having markets at church. Church fairs. We should not be having church fairs. Heaven help us, we should have a cafe where we sell coffee. And they'll be, "Get that thing out of here." What would Jesus do if he came in? He'd be spilling the coffee cups all over the show. One of the things I love about scripture is that as you dig into it, you find incredible revelation and incredible truth. And this has been a passage of scripture that it's been fun. I say it has been fun to just dig into and to understand. You know, when I approach the Bible and I read especially when I'm in the epistles, when I'm reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I like to imagine myself sometimes just sitting on a park bench and watching it and just getting a picture of the context. I love reading up about what was the context like and what would the sights have been and what would have everyday life been like for those people. And then some passages of scripture, I just kind of feel like it's a scene, and I just go and I walk amongst the scene and I just understand the different people that are in it. I understand the mountains that were there, the buildings that were there, what was everyday life like again for people. And so I want to take a bit of a journey with you through this passage of scripture this morning to bring some context of what was going on. Why was Jesus so infuriated by what was taking place in the temple? And in particular, why did he go after the people that were selling the doves? You see, in the biblical times, there were two significant and important places within the Christian life. They were the synagogue and they were the temple. The synagogue was a place where they would gather, where they would meet with one another, they would pray together, there would be the reading of the scriptures. But it was also a place where school would take place. So it was a bit like our modern day school. And similar to kind of what we would think in terms of modern day church, but it was a place that they were often at for the reading of scripture and just everyday life, I suppose you could say. And then the other place was the temple. And so I want to talk about the temple, but I want to talk up about a possible lead up, and this would be a story that would be similar. This would be the sort of thing that Jesus would have been sitting there piecing together his core, just watching what was going on. And so I want you to think about in those days that there was often a pilgrimage that people would travel for several days to Jerusalem. especially around the time of Passover, but at other times as well. And so I want you to think about an everyday farmer back in those days, and a farmer who lived miles and miles away, and once a year they would make this pilgrimage around Passover to Jerusalem. And this farmer, they were desperately trying to make a living. They had huge tax burdens that had been placed upon them, and it was just enough to get by. You know, there was no John Deere tractors being brought and upgraded every year. But these farmers, they loved God. They loved the Torah. They sought to walk a life that was worthy of their God. And so they would, as the lambs were being born, the farmer would be watching out for that particular lamb, that lamb that when you looked at it, the face structure was correct, the fleece was white as snow, when you inspected it, that there were no marks, there were no blemishes. And you imagine this farmer one day when this little wee lamb is born, and he's out there and he inspects it and he looks at it and he's like, wow, that is a beautiful lamb. That is the lamb. That is the lamb that we are going to take and we are going to present at the temple. And so what does the farmer do with this? Well, the farmer would have treated that lamb like he treated no other lamb. That lamb possibly and probably would have even been brought into his house. It most likely even would have been hand-reared. He was not going to risk this lamb being with the other sheep in the flock and in case it was damaged in some way. And so it would be hand-reared, and they would keep it in with the family, and they would nurture it, and they would give it the very best of the food that they could give it. You know, this lamb was probably in his house for a number of months. And they were extremely proud. They would have been extremely proud of this little lamb. And then the time would come for them to make that pilgrimage up to Jerusalem. They were going to go to the temple, and they would have cradled this lamb. This lamb would have been looked after probably better than any other possession they had. It would have been their most prized possession. And so they make this pilgrimage cradling this lamb. There is anticipation. There is excitement amongst the family because they are going to Jerusalem. They are going to the temple. They are believers. This is the most significant building that there can be to them. And so they arrive at Jerusalem, and there's a hustle and there's bustle because it's just about the time of Passover. And so people are busy making preparation for Passover and making sure they've got a place and making sure they've got the things that they need to celebrate Passover. There's a great influx of people because people would often come into Jerusalem. And so there was singing. There were people making provision for Passover. People who were running businesses. This was a great time of the year because everybody wanted to stop at the gelato shop and grab one as they came into Jerusalem. And so the day comes when they're going to go to the temple and they are going to present their lamb. This was to be their sacrifice. And going to the temple, it was such a magnificent building in these days. And in fact, some would say that the area, there was the temple within, but then there were the temple courts without. And some would say that the temple courts without were about the size of, it took up the area of about 10 football fields. This was a prominent building, and to them this was a special building. We think in terms of temples these days, a bit old and a bit stuffy, but in these days this was a significant building to the Jews. And so they come into the temple and they come into the outer court, and they have to have their lamb checked. before anything else can take place, before the priest can go and offer that lamb on their behalf, it must have to be checked. And so this would have been a fairly typical sort of thing that was going on, is that the lamb is being checked. And the people checking it, they, at that time, wanted to do everything they could find, they could do to find fault. Why? Because their money was tied to them, the person having to buy a sacrifice from them that had been certified, true and correct, ready to go. And so you imagine that they bring this lamb, hand-reared, months in their house, and the person's going over it. And then they say, sorry, this is not okay. There is a tiny speck. There's a tiny speck there. This is not without spot or blemish. Your sacrifice is not acceptable. You're going to have to go over there, and you are going to have to purchase one of the sacrifices that has been certified. You imagine that. Hand-reared. Lived in your house. You'd done everything. You were so proud. This was a special day and a special moment. You were going to the temple. You loved God. And here your sacrifice had just been rejected. And so you had to then empty your pockets, most likely, and go and buy this stuff. Not only had your sacrifice been rejected, but your dignity as well. And you then had to go and buy the stuff, which was certified, cost you all the coins that you probably had in your pocket so that a sacrifice could be made. That's the sort of thing that Jesus would have watched going on that day as he pieced together his cord. He would have seen people who were in poverty coming in and emptying their pockets out just so that they could get a certified dove so that it could be sacrificed on their behalf. And so we wonder why Jesus was furious that day, why he was righteously indignant with what was going on, to the point where he threw the tables over. This is not on, guys. This is Jesus really, really, really ticked off because the poor are being, a barrier is being put there for the poor, but not only for the poor, for those who had traveled miles. A barrier was being put between them and coming in to that place of encounter with God. You see, the temple was a place of encounter. It was a place that was set up for everybody to be able to come and encounter God. There was even a space there for the lepers where they could come and they could encounter God. The temple, right from the foundations of the earth, was to be a place of encounter and meeting with God. You know, the first temple that there ever was the Garden of Eden. It was a place where Adam and Eve would meet with God. He would come in the cool of the evening. They were always in his presence, but it was a place where they would go and they would intimately meet with God. As they came through the desert, God ensured that there was a temple and there was a place of encounter for the Israelites. Moses loved going there. Moses loved going there. Joshua, after Moses had been there, would stay on in that place of encounter. David couldn't wait to build the temple because he knew that he was building a place of encounter. He wanted to get the ark back so that the presence of God could come and then a temple could be built. Now, he missed out on building a Solomon, got to build the temple. But such was the desire in the heart of those who were Christians, those who were believers, for the temple. It was not an old stuffy building to them. It was a place where they would encounter. Now, there's a little thing that I quite like about the temple is that when you offered your sacrifice, the priest would go off and they would offer the sacrifice. Stick their big fork in, take their chunk, and then they would bring the meat back out to you. They'd bring out the roast beef back out to you. Oh, you imagine getting from roast lamb down to a dove. Yeah, that's a rip-off, isn't it? So it was a great place of encounter. It was a great place of anticipation for these people to go to. And so God was so enraged, Jesus was so incensed that they had set this place up for dishonest gain. They had set this place up. It was a place that was set up even for the Gentiles to come. The outer court, the Gentiles were welcome. They could come and they could make sacrifice as well. And here were the money changers who were now profiting out of it and who are also now just finding people's sacrifices not worthy simply so that they could make a financial gain. And so where am I going with this? Well, yesterday morning as I started to prepare this message and I started to think on this message, God showed me that there are a number of people here. There are a number of you who you feel like when you bring your sacrifice to God, when you come to that place of worship, when you go to spend that time with Him, that your sacrifice is not good enough. That you're suddenly aware of the things that aren't right in your life. You're suddenly aware of the things that, you know, you've been wrestling and struggling with and maybe making good progress, but when in that time where you come to encounter God, you come to spend that time with God, it's like those things get flashed up before you and it's kind of like you feel like your sacrifice is not worthy. It's not right before God. The enemy likes to point out that spot or that blemish that's in your life, and he starts to even accuse the sacrifice that you are giving. In fact, God even said to me yesterday morning as I'm walking around, I'm praying in our lounge for the service today, he said, Chris, there are some people that for weeks, months, even years just do not feel like they have been able to connect with me like they really want to do, because every time they try to do it, it's like the enemy points out a blemish or the enemy points out a spot. Now, I got to say, when I go to worship Jesus and when I go to spend time with God, you know, there are times where I feel things just being pointed out. And there's a difference between conviction and there's a difference between condemnation. You know, the Holy Spirit comes and He convicts and He says, hey, Chris, can we just work on that? Can we sort that out? The enemy comes in and says, you dirty sinner. Look at that in your life. God comes and says, here's my hand. I'm extending it here so we can help work on that area. The enemy comes and says, you dirty rotten sinner, get out of here. Who are you? Who are you? And there are times when I love that God will say, Chris, let's work on this. But it's always like that. It's Chris, let's work on this. Or Chris, here's a truth for you. Or here's something to set you free from this area. But there are times when I go to spend with God and I'm just like conscious of the things that are not cool in my life. You know, the enemy comes and he accuses the sacrifice that I'm bringing. He comes and he says, I'm going to get in the way here. Now, of course, he doesn't. He doesn't make out that it's him. No, he dresses up as a lamb and wolf in lamb's clothing, doesn't he? He tries to make out that it's God accusing our sacrifice. But what was the greatest sacrifice that was ever offered? And what is the sacrifice that every time we spend time with God that is in play? In fact, it's in play every single second of the day. Every single second of the day, when we come and we worship God and we encounter God and we seek after Him, the sacrifice that we are holding on a day-by-day basis is the Lamb of God. Pure, without spot, without blemish. That is the Lamb that gives us access on a day-by-day, second-by-second basis. It is the Lamb of God who was slain before the creation of the earth. And I feel like for some of you today, there's just a button, there's just a light going on. There's just a light going on where you've been duped. You've been duped and you're just going, hang on a minute. That lamb is always at play. That lamb is always working on me. That is the sacrifice that I carry in and I present. See, because the temple was a place of encounter. And so there is nothing that can stop us from encountering God. Can you think about this? When did you first encounter God? It's when you hadn't even prayed a prayer. You hadn't even acted on the sacrifice. The lamb was always at work. And so the way that you came into relationship with God was because he came and he encountered you. Why? Because the lamb has always been slain since the foundations of the earth. And I just get a feeling this morning that there's a liberation for some people. There's a liberation and there's a freedom for some captives this morning. That where you've been looking to go and you've been looking to advance and you've been like, I want to go intimate. I want to go another level with God. That you just needed this morning to be reminded that the sacrifice you carry that gives you entrance is the Lamb of God. It cannot be rejected. It doesn't matter who you are. There is a place for you that has been made for encounter with the Most High God. There is a place for you. And this morning, he wants to take you in another level. This morning, he wants to take you even deeper into his presence. He wants to show you another measure of the lamb that was sacrificed before the foundations of the earth. So I just wonder if the musicians could come up. And I've asked them this morning to do one specific song, but they may even do more. We may even pray for a few more people, but I just have been so believing and so seeking after that there is a deeper encounter for people with God. That there are days of Pentecost for people, where some people haven't even experienced a day of Pentecost. Some of you may, you may have like, I love God. I'm doing everything I can. I'm trying to live the right life, and I'm trying all this. And God says, this morning I want you to stop trying to do all the right things and come and just accept the sacrifice that I have made. And rather than trying to sort stuff out on yourself, I stretch to us, looking to lift us into our royal position, seated in heavenly places. And so I just get a sense this morning that we need to respond to what the Holy Spirit is saying, to the invitation that is there, maybe even afresh. Maybe even just as we come this morning that we're consciously, like we had the people at the front this morning just stick the sword in the ground, but as you come this morning, you are consciously carrying the Lamb of God. You are conscious of the sacrifice that has been made so that you can encounter him in a deep, deep way. So as the team sings a song, we're going to stand. And I want to give you an opportunity to respond this morning. And if you're like, I want that, I want that, I want that, I want you to just come out this morning. I'm not necessarily going to pray for you. I just believe that the Holy Spirit is going to move and is going to, in fact, I think it's really important this morning that the Holy Spirit moves and encounters you. And you may find yourself just standing there, not even singing the words, but you're having an encounter with God. If that's you this morning, where you're like, I want a deeper measure. I want a deeper measure. I want to understand afresh again the sacrifice that has been made in my behalf, that there is no longer any other intermediary than the Lamb of God. That I can enter in, that I don't have to sort myself out, but I can enter in and I can accept that hand of Jesus who's going to help me sort stuff out, that I am desperate to get sorted. That I am desperate to get brought under the control and the liberty of Christ. Maybe this morning even you're just like, I just want to take a step deeper in with God. Man, I sense that there is a deeper encounter with God for people this morning. And if you don't come forward this morning, you know, sometimes it's just good to do something, but it's a signal of, hey, I'm serious about this. If you don't feel to do that this morning, just in your seat this morning, I just invite you to say, God, thank you for the sacrifice. I want to encounter you in a deeper way. I thank you, you've made the way. I thank you, made the way. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, why don't you just there stand this morning and say, Lord Jesus, I accept the sacrifice that you have made. Encounter me this morning. encounter me this morning. Why don't you just do that? And please, if you do that this morning, please let somebody know. You've probably come with somebody this morning. Let them know what you did. Because we'd love to be able to help you on that journey as well. So let's stand and let's just worship him again this morning.
Your love is endless. Your love is endless. Your love is endless. Your love is endless.
Crossing over to the other side.